You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
Anger, even when it is the right anger, even when it shares in God's anger, has to be controlled. It has to be slow to get angry. All anger should be slow to be angry. Again, anger is a powerful emotion. It's given to us by God. It moves us to action. But once it gets us moving to action, we need to make sure that it's controlled and it doesn't lead to sin, right? It should never flow out of us quickly. If you're quick to get angry, that's something you need to work on.
Anger. It can be right and righteous. But more often in humanity, it's explosive, selfish, or expressed in jealousy and frustration. The anger of man is anger for the wrong reasons, those that aren't godly and righteous. Pastor Tom will explain today that if you hold on to anger and don't rid yourself of it, you're giving the devil a foothold into your heart. Your anger blocks the voice of God and hinders your sanctification. Instead, humble yourself, settle your heart, and seek God. He'll help you control your anger. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, How to Listen to God's Word.
Well, we all know what an uncontrolled conversation can lead to. You got unguarded mouths flapping away. It leads to something that's quite ugly. By the way, ceaseless talking does that too. People just start talking and talking and talk about things that are not all that important. Go on and on debating lesser things. Where is that going to go? That's going to just eventually just build itself up into some kind of a debate and anger and hurt feelings. You ever notice that most church conflicts are not about the weightier things of Scripture? Ever notice that? It's about this little thing and that little thing and that little thing. Those who talk on and on. Maybe I should add, those who blog on and on. They're usually arguing about lesser things. Sometimes they're very lesser things. Leastest kind of things. It's not very wise. I often say to believers, do not hold strong convictions about small areas of the Christian life. Otherwise, you will divide yourself from other believers because of small things. That's what will happen. Rather, hold them as preferences and hold love as a conviction and unity as a conviction. Jesus himself had to rebuke the Pharisees on a number of occasions for having strong convictions about tiny things while they neglected the weightier parts of God's law. He said, you strain out gnats and you swallow camels. By the way, he called them hypocrites for doing that. So when you put a check on the tongue and you open your ears, you tend to control anger. And that's a huge help to hearing the word of God. Now, I know anger is a huge subject. It touches all of our lives. So I don't want to be misunderstood. So I want to back up and go through some teaching about anger with you before I bring it back to the listening of the word of God. And I want to say this. Anger is a legitimate emotion. You say, thank goodness, Pastor, I was already angry this morning. Whew, now I know I didn't sin. I didn't say that. I just said that anger is a legitimate emotion. James does not write, never get angry. Slow to speak does not mean don't speak, and slow to anger does not mean don't get angry. God's word is precise here, beloved. Anger is a true emotion granted to us by our Creator who made us in his image, you see. It is a useful emotion given by God which compels us to action when we need to do something. There are times when people don't do anything and they need to be doing something and anger gets them going. The removal of all passion and anger is not godly. A person is not, therefore, to be corrected merely because they got angry. That seems to happen more and more in society. You know, you see someone getting angry in public, you're like, what is wrong with that person? Look at that guy, he's lost his cool, man, chill out. Goodness gracious. And you think he's wrong just because he's angry. That doesn't mean he's wrong. What is he being angry for, right? There are good reasons to be angry. Injustice, blasphemy, perversion. How about those for starters? Oppression of people, doesn't it just move you to anger when you see someone bullying somebody else? It should. That's good. Anger allows us to express some rejection of what's morally wrong, what's offensive. I'm angry. I'm angry at our government leaders. I'm angry at them for attempting to redefine what marriage is. I'm angry at them. you don't listen to God, and you don't even listen to nature and the body, and you disregard what male and female is, the disaster and the evil and the tragedy that will fall upon the family after that is, well, it's irreversible. Where do you go when people of the same sex are said to be married? They're not actually married, but now they're said to be married. Well, there's no stopping that, right? We just heard of three gentlemen that got married somewhere. Three. Of course, once you change the definition of marriage, there's no stopping where that's going to go. I'm angry about that. You should be too, aren't you? I'm angry at those barbaric Muslims, and I know not all Muslims are like that, who put a knife to the necks of professed Christians or Jews in the Middle East. I'm angry about that. Aren't you? Isn't there part of you that gets angry there? Anger can be helpful. Anger can move us to action. You say, I didn't know that, Pastor. Yes! God gets angry. You say, he does? Oh, yes, he does. God gets very angry. A couple of samples. Just look in your concordance. Just type it in. How many times it says, they provoked the Lord to anger. They provoked the Lord to anger. He burned in his anger towards. It's just all over Scripture. Numbers 32, 13. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years they're trudging around the wilderness. Because he got angry. Until the entire generation of those who had done evil on the sight of the Lord was destroyed. That's anger. Deuteronomy 32, 16. They made God jealous with strange gods. Blasphemy, idolatry. With abominations, they provoked God to anger. You see, holy zeal and holy anger go together. Oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. Now we're in the New Testament. We're in the New Covenant. It's all love. There's no anger in the New Testament. Mark 3, 5. Jesus Christ. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. They had no compassion on this man, and he was angry at them for their lack of compassion. In the Bible, godly men got angry for good reason, and they were rewarded by God for their zeal. I would that more people had righteous anger, that got stirred up to do something about things that are wrong. Dr. Hebert says, the individual who is never aroused and deeply stirred at evil is rather deficient in moral character. Wow. If you can't move yourself to be angry against evil, how much do you love what is good? There's a reason to be angry. It's legitimate. But, and you knew the but was coming, not all of it, not even most of it. In the New Testament, there were two common words that were used for anger. One is the word orge. Get the word orgy from it, actually. Orge. That's the word that is used here. It means a settled kind of anger. It's mostly an inside kind of anger. It's pent-up anger, latent anger that's just waiting for the moment to express itself. Dr. Hebert writes, it is a strong and persistent feeling of indignation. So now you know if you're angry on the inside, right? If you have a strong and persistent feeling of indignation, now you know what to call it. You're angry. You're orge angry, okay? When it is a sinful expression of that, Dr. Lee calls it a simmering pot of hostile, mean-spirited feelings. But it's underneath. It's under the surface. The second word in the New Testament for anger is quite the opposite, thumos. This is very easily detected. It's what we usually think of. It's the explosive kind of anger, volatile anger. It's not the magma moving below the surface. It's the lava spewing out of the volcano. Everyone sees it. Like, whoa, look at that. It is the nostrils flaring. It is the voice bellowing, the flushed face. It is a turbulent display of emotion. Both of these kinds of anger are usually sinful when we human beings display them, never when God displays them. Look at verse 20 now a moment. Verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. That's an important statement. That's an important theology on anger. That's the problem with unrighteous anger. It doesn't achieve. Literally, that means it doesn't work the righteousness of God. You can't work or do the righteousness of God by expressing man's anger. Can't get there. That train don't take you there. You won't get to the destination of godliness and righteous living through the anger of man. The righteousness of God means that practice of righteousness. Either we're talking about your practice of righteousness or even the people you're angry at wishing that they would practice righteousness. It's not going to get them there. The righteousness of God is the righteous life that God wills for us to live. The anger of man is the anger from man for the wrong kinds of reasons. It is anger for man's reasons. It is anger for man's lost purposes. It's not anger that shares an anger with God for his reasons. It's our own world and our own life and our own objectives and our own goals being disrupted. It's our own comfort. It's man's anger, you see? And it is the anger we are most likely to have in our hearts. Why do we get angry? We're jealous of other people. You know, we don't get certain things. We're envious of them. That persists over time. We get angry. We're not treated with respect. We get frustrated when plans don't happen. That's one for me. I like to see stuff happen. I like to see things work. You know, I like things working. I just do. I don't know why. I just do. Things should work. And when they don't work, I'm like, ah! And my anger comes up. I have to check, why am I angry? Is this an anger that shares with God, or is this just me being bothered about things not working on my timetable? It's usually that. Anger from self-focus. Anger from loss of money. You know? You get that bill and you're like, oh! Angry at loss of money. Angry at loss of property. Damage of property. Get angry. It's the anger of man. And that's why you find a lot of verses in the New Testament say things like Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. When it's that kind of an anger that goes with the bitterness and that kind of wrath and clamor, all of that kind of anger needs to go. It's associated with wrong motives there, and so it all has to go. Again, back to Dr. Lee, he says, human anger wastes the energies of God's people, and it produces divisions, and often comes from selfish ambition. I think that's a good summary. I've seen orge kind of anger here, that below the surface kind of an anger that you talk with someone and you talk with them and you're like, what's wrong with this person? There's something, you think to yourself, there's something going on here and you can't quite put a finger on it. They might hide it for a while. But they act like that prickly pear, that porcupine. And every time you get near them, there's always something. There's just like, wow, you can't just say a comment without causing some drama or something. You're like, what is going on there? And below the surface is some bitterness, some anger that stays there. And it can be part of people who have been very well taught, that know their doctrines well. But they're always complaining about something. Something's not right. You can never satisfy them. And you just wait for the right moment, and then it gets expressed, and everyone's like, ah, that's what was going on in the heart. It's been sitting there for years. Quickness to anger, obviously, is another problem. He says, be slow to anger. Anger, even when it is the right anger, even when it shares in God's anger, has to be controlled. It has to be slow to get angry. All anger should be slow to be angry. Again, anger is a powerful emotion. It's given to us by God. It moves us to action. But once it gets us moving to action, we need to make sure that it's controlled and it doesn't lead to sin, right? It should never flow out of us quickly. If you're quick to get angry, that's something you need to work on. That's something God wants you to listen to. It's something we're going to argue here. It's something that prevents you even from hearing God's word well. Proverbs 19:11 speaks to this. It says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Sometimes when I'm being provoked, I try to remember this verse. I try to remember, if I walk away, Tom, just walk away. Tom, just get out of there. And if I can do that and I can walk away, it's evidently my glory. That's what the scripture says. Don't let this thing get you. Just walk away from it. Dispel the whole problem. Well, Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger, notice again, that shows the legitimacy of anger. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. What a goal to have in life to control anger. Proverbs 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. And then, of course, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Wow, can you imagine seeing all of the sin and blasphemy that God sees every single day around this globe, and he holds back his anger? I mean, you know, that's why when the Greeks made up their gods like Zeus and they're throwing their lightning bulbs, that's what we would be like. Those are gods made after our sinful image, right? If I was God, I'd be like Zeus, give me a lightning bolt now. Zap, zap. And God can do more than that, and he holds it back. The real God is not made after our sinful image, you see. I think Ephesians 4 gives very helpful instruction about anger. It says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. What does that mean? Don't go to bed angry. So you're slow to get angry, right? There's provocation, but you don't get angry. There's more provocation, but you don't get angry. There's even more provocation, and you still don't get angry. You're in control. You're slow to get angry. When you get angry, then you control it. And it says the way you control it is don't let it last. Find a way to get rid of it before you lay the head down. In other words, when it flares, then it needs to all be over with. When you express the anger, you need to get rid of it quickly. Why? Why should I do that? Why can't I take and savor that feeling of anger towards my husband or anger towards my wife or anger towards my kids or my boss or whatever? Why can't I take that to bed? That's kind of like the thing that I chew on sometimes, and I kind of like it. Because you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. That's what it says in Ephesians 4. Don't give the devil a foothold. He stuck his foot in your door because you're angry. You just invited him in the house. Come on in here. Take over my thinking, devil, because the devil is an angry being. And he likes that because now he's got control of your thoughts and it's not going to go the right way. It's not going to be good for you. Yeah, but I have every right to be angry. Even if you do, look where it leads. By the way, this exhortation assumes that anger can be controlled, contra a lot of the psychological advice. You can't control your anger. Don't suppress it and keep it inside. Just vent it out. Like we're just animals who've evolved a little further and we need to learn to use our aggression in some way. Just don't eat another tiger or something like that. Just be nice to people. And no, that's, you know, when evolution gets into social sciences, there's a lot of problems with that. It leads to a lot of sin. No, it's supposed to be controlled. Be slow to anger. Be quick to give up anger. But I can't control my anger. Well, then you need some help with that. But I don't even know about that. I think you can learn to control your anger. You see two people arguing on the street corner, about ready to come to fists and blows. And there they are, just as angry as can be, losing it, just totally losing it. And then a police officer comes around the corner with his old billy club. All of a sudden, they're best buddies. No problem here, officer. We're doing fine. They found a way to control their anger. Just need proper motivation. We need to control anger because it tells us right here, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You want to live righteously, you won't get there with your anger. 1 Timothy 2:8 even says that anger hinders the prayers of men in the church. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. It doesn't lead to righteousness. It abounds in transgression. From Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. No righteousness there. Folly. Let me apply this to you as parents. You want your children to live well. That's good. You want them to behave right. You want them to learn righteous living, godly living. And then they don't. And they don't a lot. I mean a lot. Amen? Getting angry at them does not make them walk with God. In fact, it may make them walk away from God. It does not achieve the righteousness of God even in the way you want to minister to them. Or when we get angry at unbelievers. Unbelievers do lots of foolish things and they say lots of blasphemous things. But if we're always getting angry at them, we can't witness to them. We have to find a way to overlook transgressions, right? Love covers a multitude of sins, right? We have to do that with unbelievers. We have to care for them. We have to be patient with them. We have to be understanding. They're in darkness. They don't understand. They don't have a new nature. I'm not excusing it. God's going to judge it. I'm just saying we have to outreach to them. If all that the unbeliever knows about the church is that they're angry, if that's all they know, they're not going to listen to anything we have to say. There's nothing joyful or attractive about being angry all the time. We have to hold righteous anger, but we can't be angry at individual people all the time. We must hold back that anger. We must love even those that we know are perverting things. The other thing I want to mention here is that anger doesn't help with a problem in church. There are problems in church. Come on, guys, there's problems in church. There's problems in every church. These people are not communicating with those people. This was not set up. No one was there to help do this. This wasn't well announced. These leaders didn't get out in front of that problem and do such and such. There's always going to be problems in church. We're people and we have problems, right? But adding anger into it makes it worse, right? But showing understanding and working with imperfect people to try to make the best of a situation, that's wisdom. That's what God wants. We don't want the devil to bring a local church down. And he can bring a local church down. He can divide a local church just through uncontrolled anger. Now, let's bring the application back to the context and to receiving the Word of God. Did you know that your anger affects your ability to hear the Word of God? Anger towards others in church hurts our reception of God's Word. When we're angry towards someone else in church, it clouds our thinking. It makes us less receptive to hear the Word of God. It's too much noise in our minds, and it blocks the voice of God. We can even be angry at the message that the teacher is teaching us. Like, I don't like that message. And you're angry someone's bringing it up, thinking, oh, they're bringing that up because of me. I just know that. And we're angry at the message, or that's not what I was taught by a previous church, and so I'm just shutting that down. I don't like that. And you're annoyed. Sometimes the anger is directed at the person doing the speaking of the Word of God. You know, saying something you disagree with or whatever. And then the Spirit of God's trying to teach you something through imperfect men, and you shut it down and you don't listen and you can't be changed. And it cuts off the work of the Spirit and sanctification right there, right at the very beginning, right where we've gathered to hear the Word and it's so important that we grow. And there you're angry at the messenger or angry at the message. Often you're going to hear a doctrine, you're like, I don't know if I like that. That's different. That's strange to me. Yes, but are you teachable? Are you moldable? Is it what you read in front of you in the book? You can't hear God speak to you on an issue if you come ready to amen everything you already agree with. Does that make sense? If you're not changeable, you're not moldable, I'm not talking about moving you off the convictions of the great and obvious doctrines of Scripture, but in other areas, often what you believe is good, but it's immature, it's not complete, and it needs to be expanded and molded, and that's what we're trying to do with preaching and teaching. Donald Burdick very succinctly writes, anger will close the mind to God's truth. I think that's true. You remember Moses? He didn't get to enter into the promised land because he got angry. Struck the rock instead of listening to what God said to do. Talk to it. Well, if we want to see progress in our own personal lives, we want to see progress in ministry to help people, progress in church, progress in sanctification from the Word of God, we need to make sure we're not angry. We need to make sure we're receptive to the Word of God. What does that sound like? Speak, Lord. I'm stopping all my fussing and my fuming. I'm here, Lord. I've settled my heart. I've quieted my heart within me. Psalm 131 is a good one to read. Speak, Lord. Your servant's will is harnessed. I'm not a wild horse. I'm not a bucking mule here. Speak. I'm listening. Mold me. Shape me. Teach me where you want me to go. Speak, Lord. I want to hear the Bible today. I'm not fretting about evildoers. I'm not going to let the way other people have mistreated me keep me from letting you continue to mold me, Lord. Speak, I'm listening, I'm your servant. I'm resting in your grace, I'm trusting in your wisdom, right? So I would ask you, evaluate your hearts. Is anger blocking reception of the Word of God? And look deeply and think about what kinds of anger there may be there in your heart. Now, the fourth way to respond to God's Word is to put aside sin. Look at verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and we're going to stop right there, because I think that's as far as we're going to get. The word therefore is a transitional conjunction, and it means for this reason. It's looking back to verse 20 and what was written in verse 20. It is meant to show that rather than getting angry, your response to the Word of God should be different. It should be acceptance. It should be ridding yourself of all such sin and acceptance of the Word of God. It even implies that you're getting angry because your heart is not right and has all this remaining filthiness.
Thanks for joining Pastor Tom today on Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more from this study, you can find additional teachings online now at hopebible.org. We know that this time in our world is uncertain, but one truth remains steadfast. God is in control. During the season, we encourage you to spend time in the Word, in prayer, and in the presence of your Creator. As with many churches across our nation, Pastor Tom and the Hope Bible Church community are holding church online. We'd love for you to join us. Visit hopebible.org to connect to our Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. We look forward to worshiping with you in this way until we can be gathered together as the body once again. We also know how essential prayer is during this time, and we want you to know we're constantly lifting our listeners up to the Lord. Is there anything specific we can be praying about for you? Please let us know by sending an email to hbc@hopebible.org. That's hbc@hopebible.org. Please pray for us too, as well as the leaders of our nation, and especially for those affected by this virus. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry. We'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing this gospel message. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner? All gifts are appreciated and used for this ministry. Please visit hopebible.org/radio to find out more and donate securely online. Thank you for supporting Discover Hope in this way. That's all for today. Join Pastor Tom again for another edition of Discover Hope.